But first, to the talking point of the week, the state of industry. The National Secretary of the Australian Workers Union, Paul Howes, has described it as the worst crisis for manufacturing since the Great Depression, and in particular, right now for the Australian steel industry. The mining boom has pushed the Australian dollar right up, and it's sucking the international competitiveness out of Australian manufacturing and tourism, we should add. Not for the first time, though. In recent decades, the Australian manufacturing sector is facing a radical reshape. It's happened before, but this time it seems to have come on very quickly. Steelmaker BlueScope brought the problem home to thousands of households this week by announcing it will sack 1,000 workers and 400 contractors in New South Wales and Victoria. Now, in a few minutes, I'll be speaking with the chief executive of the peak steel industry body, the Australian Steel Institute. But before that, an interview I recorded earlier with the Industry Minister, Senator Kim Carr, about the extent of the problems facing manufacturers, especially the steel industry.
Good morning.
Are we facing, as Paul Howes of the AWU says, the worst crisis since the Great Depression?
Oh, we're absolutely faced with a very severe challenge as a result of the most rapid rise in the Australian dollar we've actually seen in our history. We've had a 45% increase in the value of the dollar over the last 2 years. We're going through what is now our sixth major resources boom in our country's history. So we're in the business of taking this opportunity, this historic shift, the likes of which we haven't seen for at least two generations, and providing the opportunities for people to look at the ways in which we can develop a new form of manufacturing in Australia, a new form of economy.
So should we brace for an extended period of job losses before this new economy develops?
Well, I believe in net terms the mining boom is of great benefit to the country. However, for some regions and for some sections of industry, it is posing very severe strains. So I nonetheless take the view that we will have very, very substantial numbers of people employed in manufacturing. We've had 1 million people employed in manufacturing since about 1960, and it's my expectation over the next 20 years we're likely to see a similar sort of number. We will see an opportunity here which will outweigh the risks, and I know that's a very difficult point to make to people who are facing very serious personal economic circumstances, and that's why the government is spending so much time and energy working with individual companies and with individual regions to make this transition as painless as we possibly can.
Just going back to Paul Howes's argument that there needs to be a rethink on interest rate strategy, do you think the problem is also the RBA's problem, that the Reserve Bank should take this quite seriously?
Well, the difficulty is that for a government, we take the view that the Reserve Bank should be independent. Now, that's not to say people won't have views about the value of the Australian dollar. I'm clearly very concerned about the high rate of the Australian dollar, and I know that just about every trade-exposed enterprise in the country shares that view. However, it's another thing entirely for the government to seek to direct the Reserve Bank.
Now, the steel industry wants to have some guarantees that much more Australian steel is used in major infrastructure projects, especially those relating to the mining boom. Do you agree with that?
Well, the difference is whether we have opportunities or guarantees. What we can't do is guarantee the outcome of tender processes. We can't mandate local content. We can't assume that any competitive bidding arrangement will have a result fixed before it starts. What we have to do is ensure that our companies are competitive, but we also have to ensure that our international proponents of these major projects in the resources sector meeting their obligations to work cooperatively with Australian business.
You talk about opportunities, though. Are there enough opportunities?
Well, it could be a lot more, and we're never satisfied. We always take the view that we could do better. We cannot, however, expect that people will automatically provide Australian business with contracts irrespective of price, irrespective of quality, irrespective of capability. And one of the big issues that we are facing is the fact that so many businesses are not able to meet the requirements of these very, very large projects. So we're working with business to lift their abilities to actually be competitive. Now, I explain it as pretty much the same as we approach our international athletes, our elite athletes. We don't expect our athletes to go into international competition without substantial training and support. Why should we expect our companies to be able to do it? We think there is a real role here for government and a real role for, in terms of our industry associations, our unions, and that we ought to be able to build the partnerships to build the innovative capacity of Australia. The real struggle for us is how do we move to this new economy? How do we find a way that Australia can recreate itself?
Do you have the answers to that?
Yes, we do. We do. We've just, for instance, passed the R&D tax bills through the Parliament. That's $1.8 billion worth of assistance every year on support for science, innovation and research. Science and research is now at the very core.
But it won't help very quickly, though, will it?
Well, there has to be a period of adjustment, and these are not things that we've just discovered overnight. Well-managed companies have known this is coming for a while. This is not about a knee-jerk reaction. We've set in train a whole series of measures to actually transform the way we do business in this country. That's why we set up the Department of Innovation, Industry, Science and Research. We're bringing together our companies, our universities, our science agencies. We're trying to build the capabilities to allow this country to meet the challenges head on.
The industry says that Australian minerals projects are favouring cheap Asian and other steel. Do we have evidence for that?
Well, we have clear evidence that we're not winning enough contracts. Now, I shouldn't short sell what's actually occurring. We are seeing, for instance, projects like Gorgon just announced a huge contracts, 10,000 tonnes of Australian steel. We've seen that there are other projects throughout the resources sector where very substantial contracts are going to Australian companies. The question is, do we have enough of them? Are they big enough? Are they able to actually pass on their skills to a broader range of people? That's the type of question that we're asking. We want to work with our companies so that they get more contracts. We want to ensure that the international companies understand their obligations. The realities are that if people want support from the government through the tariff concession schemes that we have available, they are obliged to provide us with advice on what plans they have for Australian industry participation. Could we improve that? Of course we can. The truth of the matter is, the big question is, are companies prepared to back their own future by investing in themselves?
Minister, one last question. No doubt in the short term there's going to be continued fallout. Is there an idea of providing some industry protection that the steel industry wants but won't breach our WTO obligations? The Americans, the Europeans and others do it. Why shouldn't we consider a short-term plan?
Well, the reality is we do things differently here because of the size of the country and by our sense of obligation in terms of our international commitments. I could tell you that we're going to stand up the Chinese and suggest to them that they change the approach they take on the currency. We could tell the South Koreans the same, and the Japanese and the Americans. We could all do that simultaneously, but it's not a realistic assessment of what we can do. The best approach we can take is to build the capabilities of Australian business, ensure our companies are competitive, work with them to improve their ability to compete, ensure they get a fair go, and press the Buy Australia message at home and abroad. And that's exactly what we're doing. And we're backing that up with $9.4 billion worth of government support every year. So it's unfair and unreasonable to suggest that we're not doing anything. And as we said in the ministerial statement just this week, the future for Australia is in the transformation of this economy firm by firm.
Senator Kim Carr, the Minister for Innovation, Industry, Science and Research, speaking to me earlier. Now, listening on the line has been Don McDonald, the Chief Executive of the Australian Steel Institute. Don McDonald, good morning to you. Welcome to Saturday Extra.
Good morning, Joe, and thank you.
Now, you had a meeting this week with the Minister. What was your message to him?
Message, Joe, was that the Australian steel industry is in a dire situation. This is due to a lack of demand and that we're about presenting a range of measures that the federal government can take to address this in ways that are definitely not protectionist. They are WTO compliant. We're not talking about subsidies and we're not talking about mandating local content. We're talking common sense approaches and approaches that are used in advanced resource-rich countries such as Norway, such as Canada, such as every resource-rich country around the West, around the world that we are aware of.
Some leaders, though, are union leaders, bordering on the question of protection, asking for protection measures. You've heard the minister there appearing to rule it out completely. You've mentioned yourself there that they're not protectionist, but how could they not be? How else could you do it?
What we're proposing, the centrepiece of what we're proposing is number one, government leadership and a whole of government approach. With a will to make things happen, we believe that's number one. Backed up with that, we're looking at supportive policies, and the policies we're talking about, number one, at the centrepiece is an Australian Industry Participation Plan that sets out in detail what it is that opponents are going to bring to the country in terms of skills, in terms of investment, in terms of local content, in terms of engagement with our local industry. So it is a plan which we're proposing, and we presented this to the Minister on Thursday. For all projects over $100 million, proponents will set out clearly what it is, the benefit of the project that they'll bring. Now, they have similar obligations in respect of environmental. They have to conduct environmental impact statements. Indigenous approvals. We're saying that Australian industry participation needs to be set out in a plan so it's transparent up front, and that can be used then to gauge the merit of the project, and that can be put through consideration at the time of Foreign Investment Review Board approval decisions, or, as the Minister said, for those projects that are seeking tariff concessions, for those projects that are perhaps seeking environmental concessions. Governments do have levers in the terms of the licence to operate that are, we're not talking mandatory levels or anything like that here.
Well, if they're not mandatory, how will they cut into the competitive bidding arrangements that currently are in place? I'm not quite sure. It seems to be a parallel process of transparency, but how does it actually affect the outcome or the potential outcome of that bidding?
Look, to pick up on some of what the Minister says in terms of our competitiveness, what we can say is that the Australian industry is competitive in terms of things like productivity, quality, delivery and budget performance. Where we do struggle with the high dollar is on an hourly rate basis compared with Asia. As you'd appreciate, our wages structure, our regulatory structure is much higher here than in Asian countries. But there are projects where we are competitive and we need to have full engagement with our industry around those.
Now, to the politics of it, you've met with a large group of backbenchers. How many of them are representing electorates with large numbers of manufacturing jobs, specifically which are allied to the steel industry and steel industry jobs?
Yes, we met with a group of backbenchers. There were some 23 of them at a forum that we had in Canberra on Thursday. Most of those were from electorates that are in areas that have high concentrations of manufacturing. I've got to say that the MPs at the briefing were supportive. They understood the issue. They gave us a good hearing, and they've undertaken to take it up urgently with the government.
So this is a big political issue in places like Wollongong and the key manufacturing electorates in Victoria. Is that how you read it?
Well, look, we're reading it from where we're sort of as a policy issue, and one that requires bipartisan support. I mean, we're looking at an industry here that is winding down very rapidly, and it's all due to lack of demand. There could be demand out there with the right policy settings and with government leadership. We're seeing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tonnes of fabricated steel being sourced offshore. Effectively, what we're doing there is we are exporting jobs, we are exporting production in a time when this country can ill afford to do that. We've got very little demand in commercial construction, in residential construction, in industrial construction. The two parts of the economy where there is some strength, some very good strength in the construction sector is in resources, you know, major projects, oil and gas and mining, and in infrastructure. But we're not getting our fair share of that. We're getting something in the order of 10 to 12% of Australian fabricated steel in major resource projects. Now, that's just not good enough in a country where manufacturing is on its knees.
Well, the government has announced that former Queensland Premier Peter Beattie will be a sort of, I guess, Australian steel industry ambassador, concentrating on regions like South America. Would you expect that kind of advocacy to yield any results anytime soon?
Well, look, we certainly welcome Peter Beattie's appointment. Peter Beattie was instrumental in the Comalco Alumina Refinery project in Queensland going to local companies some 10 years ago. That was a project that was bid internationally. I'm not aware of the South American connection, but I would think he's got a heck of a lot of work to do at home with resource projects here in Australia, where opportunities are just going begging, as I said, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tonnes being sourced offshore at a time when our industry is operating at something less than 50% capacity. We've got fabrication businesses closing every other week. This is a dire and urgent situation, and one that requires urgent government action.
Okay, and just finally, Don McDonald, I just wonder whether the industry has been caught unprepared. The minister we heard say that this is a period of adjustment, that well-managed companies have known this, it's been coming for a while. He said the big question is, are companies prepared to back their own future by investing in themselves? Has the steel industry been caught short?
No, they haven't. I certainly disagree with that statement. Our industry has invested heavily in its productive capacity in anticipation of this resources boom. It's invested in new plant, new automated equipment, new skills. It's invested some $500 million just in the fabrication part alone in the last couple of years.
Right.
So it stands ready to serve these...
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Don McDonald. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks very much.
Don McDonald, Chief Executive of the Australian Steel Institute. And that story will no doubt continue. Australia Talks on Monday night, 6 in the East and 4 in the West. We'll be taking a closer look at the manufacturing in Australia. Australia Talks here on ABC Radio National.